February 28, 2015 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Selection 6, take 1.
Make one? Oh, we want to make it. Yeah, okay. We'll make it now. Yeah, make it. Okay.
We got rain coming, right?
Yes, looking like it's coming pretty soon.
Well, we start with Monk's Mood, the false start one, John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, and then our guest, I gotta tell you, right ahead of time, Brother Matt, this band was huge influence of Minutemen. I don't even know what the Minutemen would sound like without this band. Their sound, their presence, their the whole fucking deal, man. We were way into it, and I mean, we were so idiots that we lost one of their verses, lost one of the words in the title. But finally now I can make it up maybe by giving them due. And they got a brand new album. It's Kevin and John of the Journals.
Hey there.
Hey.
Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Your Rocket to the Moon, the new album. next year at Marine Bad, which is coming up on May Day, because I guess maybe last year you did this. And this is on Happy Squid.
Yes, it is.
Which is my first Urinal Records, the Keats, where we first, well, actually, we heard Meat Puppets on the Monitor record. For some reason, this band put another band in their album.
Really?
Yeah, they don't play on it either. Actually, it happened to me and Petra. But they had us do one of their songs, but none of the dudes in the band played on the song. And that's the Meat, is it Hair? Or
yeah, it's Hair.
Yeah. It just comes out and he's like,
yeah, Monitor
and
wrote
back
it.
To Mon-
they wrote
it. Oh, so, okay,
and
so
they
it's
it
the
to
same
Meat
thing
Puppets.
As us.
Yeah.
Okay. Ours was called Floatin'.
It's brilliant.
And, And then the next time I heard him was Helen, H. Helen.
H. Eleanor.
H. Eleanor.
Yeah, Kate on Keats.
Off the Keats, which is about you enlightening Kevin with a fucking fish jumping out of the bowl. Because he had this trippy album cover. But if he explains it to you, it makes total sense. It's the fish jumping out of the bowl and accidentally killing himself. And you, like, rode the Harley, you know. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else would name his fish Keats?
Well, the name of the fish was Keats Rides a Harley.
Yeah, the full name.
The full name. I thought it was just Keats, and Keats rode the Harley.
No, no. That was the name of the fish.
See how you fuck up things from years ago. Let's get to the music thing. Who's going to go first? Is JB4K?
Yeah.
Okay, so K first.
Okay, I'll go first. So the question is...
So your very earliest...
Perry Como.
Musical. yeah, turn the leashes off.
Yeah, I did. Sorry about
mine
that.
Mine goes on. Mine plays Coltrane music. And that's the zig.
So it's part of the show.
If it's zig, floor! You know what to do when that.
All hands on deck with that.
Yeah. It's like, whoa! Grab that motherfucker. You were in Texas, right?
No, I was not. I'm military.
Yeah.
So I grew up.
A bunch of paths like me.
Yeah. So I think I first became aware of, like, popular music that resonated with me when I was living in Germany and in...
What town?
Heidelberg.
Okay. The hospital town. Still is. They do the Middle East. That's the only part of the old thing left.
Although I don't know that that's still open anymore.
That's the only thing that is. They closed all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And then they medevac people.
You know, I went back there in 2009 and looked at the places that we lived there. And they were still there, but... The bases have been turned over to Germany at this point, and I don't think they're there anymore. They've probably been bulldozed.
There's a big schloss there. I remember it having.
And it's gorgeous. Yeah, up on the side of their home.
Schlosses.
Absolutely. They got a lot of them over there, don't they?
Okay, so Germany, what do they eat?
Oh, this is sixth grade, and...
what's that, about Matt 12, 11?
Yeah.
That's your first musical memory?
Well, it's my first...
Oh, that you could relate to.
That resonated with me.
That resonated. And you were like a fucking vampire.
And it was Sgt. Pepper. It had just come out. And
I thought you said Perry Como.
No, well, Perry Como was earlier, but that's my first musical memory is Perry Como. Or maybe... maybe
remember
even,
what he was saying?
We had an album of...
So it's your parents.
Yes.
So your parents turn you out.
Yeah, but that's always the case, right?
A lot of times...
Whatever's lying around.
Dude, I had a drummer from... What is it? Steven from Flaming Lips. This dude was 6 years old playing in his daddy's country band. It's not all the same.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? Okay.
So. Well, I had no idea that I would ever be a musician or whatever it is I am now.
Sure.
You know, it just was not on the radar. But I really appreciated pop music, and you know, I got involved that way. My sixth grade teacher brought it in and made the entire class listen to both sides. Silently.
Beatles.
Yeah. In sixth grade.
Yeah.
that was your Department of Defense dollars at work right there.
Yeah, I got a lot of education that way.
Yeah.
You know, those were trippy times. This was the 60s, and God, I remember not wearing a habit.
Oh, yeah, when they switched.
And the guitar and singing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was all kinds of weird...
Yeah, I went to Catholic school and that...
stuff. And when we... The last edition, now it's Marina, but that was Fort MacArthur Lower Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
We rented out... Well, we didn't, but our buddy Mark Weisswasser did, and the roof was all painted psychedelic. This isn't a soldier fucking... Because they're tripping.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so they turn you... That's your first turn on is
yeah, I mean, you know, there was stuff around the house. There was Ray Conniff. There was Johnny Mansingers. There was all sorts of...
Are your parents musicians?
Easy listening stuff. No. My mom's a dancer. My dad did some theater. So, you know, we had...
Some art.
Yeah. Great. We had some performance in our blood, I think.
So, what was the first record you bought? It wasn't foisted on you by a teacher.
It was probably their Satanic Majesty's Request.
Love Stones. I love that one.
Yeah,
I do
too.
One of my favorite ones.
I know. It's awesome. And it's the only one in their entire catalog that sounds like that.
It's true. And I think it was an answer to that one got foisted on you.
Absolutely.
And that was supposedly an answer to the Piper at the...
Gates of Dawn?
But I also, somebody
I
else told me they were thinking of that one people don't know about, Small Faces, Golden Flake.
Yeah, I tried to listen to that record. It's really a tough slog. I don't get it.
But also The Who had the sellout. I think everybody was tripping on this kind of idea.
Absolutely. This is a moment where music just exploded, where anything was available, anything was on the table.
And where did you buy this record?
At the PX.
And you were still in Germany?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And that's when I started... I mean, I was buying a lot of stuff.
That's when we had Long Beach.
Yeah.
That's where I got all... Got the chow at the commissary and then, you know, toilet paper and the soap and shit, PX.
And the, you know, PX, the records were like $2.50.
Oh, yeah. And no tax.
No tax.
Did you have a flesh color ID?
Yes, I did. I wish I had it still.
No shit. And the thing on the bumper of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about actually... put your hands on an instrument.
That wasn't until...
That's your little time? So wait on that.
The year before I moved to Los Angeles, I'd been living in San Antonio. I moved to...
There is the Texas part.
There is the Texas part.
People, I got turned on years ago to the fact that John actually lived with the Huns singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was my roommate.
So yeah, I don't know if a lot of people know the Huns, but this was like a notorious band for its time.
Right.
Even the sleeve of the single is bigger than everybody else.
That was a deliberate thing on their
part.
They wanted to make sure that their record stood out. So instead of like a 7x7, it's like an 8x8.
Yeah, it's a little bigger. And it's this weird painting. And then on the back's the dude with the Leif Erikson trip.
Yeah.
The guitar man, right? And you told me the singer evolved into another... incarnation after that.
Yeah. Well, he got born again, and
so what about when you were in San Antonio? You're buying records too. Is this high school time?
It was hard to find good records in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And there was nothing to listen to on the radio, so
yeah.
I primarily just read about records. I got Phonograph Record Magazine,
Phonograph,
and Cream, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'd read about all these records.
True.
and then I'd have to special order them from the local record shops.
Mail order.
Well, they would
special order
them, and they'd come in. And
what about gigs?
I think the first gig I saw was Yes.
In San Antonio?
Yeah. With Poco.
Remember Poco? That was Mazur from the Eagles when he quit the basement.
Right. And Trent Furio.
Although I won a big bet on some country rock with the Stooges tour manager once. He couldn't believe that Joe Walsh was Hotel California, but yeah, he already left the James Gang people. I was talking about James Gang yesterday. Joe Walsh made an album with John Ellisville called Got Any Gum. And because Dirk has a sticker, Billy Lags Gum in the window. And that was like the fucking code word for Where's the Cho-Cho?
Huh.
So they called the album that.
I remember that.
Yeah, he cut the girl off him when he died. Joe's still with us.
I tried my best to avoid any kind of country music, country rock.
But you like Yes.
Yeah, I did. I did. But don't tell anyone.
Yeah, right. Don't put it on record.
No, I wouldn't have any credibility.
So when did you come to SoCal? The year before you meet these guys?
77 is when I came to LA.
So maybe it's the same year.
And then, we started playing, I think, spring of 78 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, September of 77, we both came down for school to UCLA.
Okay. So we'll get up to that point. But who was like influenced? Were you thinking of playing? No, was it a punk movement?
Yeah, it was a punk
like
moment.
When you were going to those Yes gigs, were you thinking, you know what?
No.
Wait a minute, never stop, because I'm going to get up there and fucking
punk
do
didn't
Jerry
exist.
Lewis on that.
Punk didn't exist at that point.
Yeah, I know. So, like me and D-Boom, we played with each other. We jammed together in the bedroom, right? But never thought you could play gigs, because arena rock.
Yeah.
And when the punk movement came, wow,
they're doing it.
Yeah.
Everything shifts.
See, ours was just the opposite. It was like, oh, well, there's a talent show coming up. Let's put a band together and do a performance.
This is
And we'd not been playing together or
you
anything.
You didn't copy all them Blue Oyster Cult and Creed songs?
No, we couldn't. We didn't have the...
No, I know that. Yeah.
But you're fucking heroes! Okay, now let's get to it again, though. Let's play some music.
Okay.
Sunlight melts the day, and the people flee. dreamy, driving around the world in the dreamy, kissing all the girls. Oh, 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 oh. Down in the mud, in the chimney, taking all the drugs. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I hope they think about me, they know that daddy is gone. I hope they think about me, they know that daddy is gone.
double nine. Dreaming the top of the town can tear the whole place down. The day is coming for me, don't want you around. All that stuff is doing so. Wanna get laid out, touch it too. Baby, I love you. I'll be running, I'll be properly. Stop doing pills, give out the time.
body satisfies my will and my love for others if they can coexist, which will I choose?
Urinals, President King shakes hands, starting us off, your dicks with Dr. Daddy. I just did a song for the documentary, Shit on Me. That was on my answer machine for years for Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
I know.
Right.
Daddy's Gone, seven, the Rod Dicks. That's out of Lyon. Dicks were out of Amarillo, but I think Gary started out in Arkansas. That man, we love that man. There's, you know, it'd be a Texas punk band in those days. Balls out of boys. Bernays Propaganda with Subhashise Otis Dos de Kuvat. They're from Skopje, Macedonia. Hooskers, All Tensed Up. You boom for that first out. Black Flag passed it on. Thought it was real fast, Blue Oyster. Go Team, brand new. What do you say? Are we in California? Petra, she just did a, Petra Hayden did a soundtrack. It's called Dog Bowl. Lady's having, a young woman's having trouble with her life, and then she, it's called some kind of dog that helps you. Service dog.
Service
so
dog.
She puts on the vest and her whole life changed. I ain't seen the vest with that, so she did all the same. Gigi Bear, out of Busan, doing Outsider on the Outside. Aka Ao Shiro Kiro, brother, sister's daughter. That's me, Mr. Shimmy, and Mizuko had her birthday. And success on her cancer cutting out. Okay. Beautiful. And then finally, Close Our Eyes, Urinals. Brand new album. Now we've heard John give his story of his early music youth journey. Now Kevin's turn. What's your first music memory that you have? Still have?
Well, in our family, it was kind of probably people singing badly "Happy Birthday" because my family is notorious for being tone deaf.
Sour ass.
Oh my God! It just.
Sphincter poker.
It's really. I mean, I try to explain to people when I bring them. If I bring them over, and it's like, there might be singing. If you don't expect to be able to stand it, and they're like, oh, everybody can sing. It's not, it can't be that bad. And then I watch their expression on their face when we start singing, and it's happy birthday. And they're like, you're right, it really is.
So you were punk rock before there was punk rock.
Kind of. But we were. It was a very conventional family growing up, middle class.
But let's Leonard Nimoy, you know, respect LLAP.
That's right.
Can't see my hands, but I'm doing that fucking.
You're doing a fine job.
Thing.
You've been practicing.
But have you heard him do Creedence?
No.
Because he's torn. He don't know whether to go with Fogerty and his fucking love of Howlin' Wolf and take Boynton, or do we go with Burnin'?
Well, he's got to go with what he's comfortable.
He just no, he just vote. You gotta listen to it. I think I flowed you the link. Check it out.
All right.
It's better than the Bilbo Baggins song. Goddamn. Okay, so your first musical experience is singing with the folks.
Yeah, and not.
Where is this at?
Northern California, Concord, in Oakland. Okay.
Sure. East Bay.
Yeah.
And,
So there were, I mean, there was music in the house.
Like early 60s, like 50s?
Early 60s.
Okay.
The
JFK time?
Yeah.
Okay. Marilyn Monroe time? My sister being after me. This
really?
She was born. I mean, fuck, what do shit, man? So, guys, your first music thing is singing together.
And we had, like, the Mitch Miller album.
So you're listening to your parents' albums.
Yeah.
When you buy your first record?
Or
do you have buddies who, like, play? Because that's another big thing. Some dude, an older brother or a friend turns you on to their...
Yeah, my brother, he's 10 years older than me, so he was... Like, he was into the Stones and the Beatles and all that. And because he got drafted in 68. So he went off to Vietnam. So then he left all his records there. So it was just like, and I was in his room then.
You're right.
I moved into his room. And
you know what's another one? The library. There's a lot of dudes, they heard a lot of shit from the library.
Yeah, I never did that.
Yeah, me either. Dudes on the show talked about it. Check out shit.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
Okay, but you had your bro's stuff. Man.
Yeah.
What a gift he gave.
Yeah.
Hey.
John.
Hey, John, thank you much. Really grateful.
And
you start checking out his records. He's into Stones. And
right.
Trippy ass rock and roll.
Yeah, definitely. And all the, any drug related stuff, he was into that.
Yeah.
So there was that. But then I think when I started listening to AM radio and stuff, I got into the whole, like in high school, I was into...
You built the appreciation he was talking about?
Differently. I started with pop music, and so I was like the Eagles. I was buying Eagles records. I was listening to Peter Frampton. They were huge.
Come Alive.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what band he was in before that? Great Man. Humble Pie. One of that Small Faces guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know how he started? Oliver. And Robert Plant admits that he took his...
Peter Frampton started with all of them?
No. Who's getting married? Frampton was a mouse. But he was good. He's better than Clem Clems, in my opinion. But anyway, on with your story.
So, in
high school... Frampton, I remember he had a time where he was in Nashville now. So, what was music? Was it heavy in your school? Like, who liked what?
There was the Stoners. There was because I did a lot of theater in high school, so I was, there was the musical theater kind of people who were into more.
Bob Fosse?
The theater music. Although there was the whole Grateful Dead kind of contingent. There was the Bruce Springsteen contingent. I remember I took a film class. And we had to make a short film. And then
in high school?
Yeah.
Bitch.
The only thing that anybody got, there was like this massive fight at the end. It's like for the soundtrack. There was, it has to be Bruce Springsteen, and then it has to be Grateful Dead. And I didn't like either.
Oh, NorCal. You're up NorCal. Yeah.
So it's just like, but you that was just like, ones. I was going to blows over that. People were just like, this is absolutely not, we will not do that. And I was like, I didn't really care about either band. So I was like, I can't. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, it was like Day on the Greens. It was going to these giant mega shows.
concerts where you rock.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I went to a small club was to see Elvin Bishop in San Francisco.
I've never been to a club till pump. My first gig is T-Rex right across the auditorium.
It was that was, going to a small club was like it really had that kind of, you know, that energy. It was really cool. So I remember
did you
hold around the 7-Eleven?
Yeah, only arena rock, right?
Not until much later.
Yeah, I didn't know until pump. I never even though I was only 30 miles south of Hollywood, I didn't know.
No, it hadn't occurred to me that you could do that.
Now with the 125 miles with the Stooges, I found out the 60s was all about clubs. What happened was that shit, that mode. In the name of Nuremberg rallies and arena rock.
Right, right.
It just got mowed.
And that's what we're used to. We grew up with
that's
that.
It's funny that we three totally share the same, because we're out of the same years.
So yeah.
Exactly the same. Okay, so you graduate high school, both of you, and you go to college. You end up going to the same college,
yeah.
UCLA, which is in Westwood here in SoCal.
Yeah.
And there's a talent show.
Yeah, I mean, John, we started to... I was not into punk rock at all, and so but John and I became friends, and he was so we were listening to music in his
why he was like in a dorm
yeah in the dorms
and you're sharing
and so
down the hall
yeah
we you know like
you don't check out the weird dude was it like that like
kind of I mean
because when I was in college I didn't hide all that shit all them square jacks that want me shape. Harvard College?
It segregates pretty quickly.
Harvard,
screw them, man.
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
I just hid this shit. It's dumb. I wore my high school clothes, which is flannels and Levi. At first, I painted my clothes, but man, they gave me so much shit. So I was wondering, I've heard about people, they would look for the weird dudes and they could relate to.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was. You sort of find people with a similar mentality.
I didn't find one motherfucker.
Oh, well.
But on the way there, was a record store called Zedda London's. Zedda's mom. They had an import with the hippie records, Klaus Schulze and the freaky shit. And so when the punk thing came, they had it right there. They could get all that. We didn't know what these bands. We've been buying the they were $2 a single. So the way the cover looked or the band.
Right,
the
exactly.
Because nobody wrote about this shit. Oh,
colored vinyl, whoa.
And it wasn't, you know, $2 and it was lame. Usually it wasn't, because, you know, if you only got two songs, you ain't going to put, like, filler.
Yeah.
Zed is a great store.
So, he likes the punk, and he found out about it through the cream.
Oh, how did I find out about it?
I guess, know, what's over
you know, actually, Phil Tolstad, the Huns singer.
Yeah.
When we were...
Oh, yeah, because you're in Texas.
We were in high school together, and the Ramones' first album came out, and he bought it. And he lent it to me. And I couldn't figure out what the hell I was listening to. It didn't make any sense to me at all. But after a while, you start to get the aesthetic. You know, it started to make sense. And so...
So you imported this from Texas and got this...
Yeah.
Kevin Off.
My first...
Pathogen.
My first record he bought for me, punk rock record, was the Ramones.
Which one?
Rocket to Ruin?
Rocket to Russia.
Rocket to Russia.
Yeah, I think it was that one. The third one. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought they were their own music.
They were.
All those England guys were copying those dudes.
They were.
I had no idea.
And you know that story about the Saints, right? When they first heard the Ramones album, they said, someone else is thinking along the same lines we are. You know, they were astonished.
Sounds like Ramones, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much does.
Radio Birdman. Remember that band?
Oh, they were great.
That's them fucking up the 1970 lyrics. Mm-hmm. The Stooges. Radio Birdman up above. They thought it was Radio Birdman. Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Hey, there's a bathroom on the right. Okay. Talent show. Because you're infected, he's infected you with the records.
Right, and so then it just became like, because then it was so clear that it was not about, that it was what you brought to it as an individual, what you brought to the music, and there was no barriers, there was no, like, gatekeepers. You could just...
A priori.
Yeah, you just, if you wanted to do it, you did it, and that was, so it was like, here's an option for us to play. Okay, so I guess we're going to start a band. All right, we'll have a band. Okay, who's going to play what?
Yeah.
What are you going to play? I want to play...
See, the idea of the band... you guys are probably the first dudes on the show that started a band without anybody playing anything.
Yeah.
Gary Floyd told me about Faith Band, that song they got on that Live at Raoul's.
Mm-hmm.
You would actually start your band and make flyers, even though you never did a prac or wrote a song, because that would, like, shame everybody into fucking getting it together.
Yeah, but they probably knew how to play instruments.
Not really. He said no.
Oh, no? Is that right?
He said fake fans were told you made flyers of them.
That's great.
And eventually that would, like, you know, we got to owe up to this. And like,
you got to come through.
That's what he told me. I thought it was balls out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, who's going to pick what to play?
So it was like, well, we...
Oh, and Cal, he's not here, but there's a third dude, and he's in the dorm down the hall.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, down the hall.
So you three guys, why'd you just keep it at three?
We didn't. We had a five. It was a five piece.
Because we had to. Well, my roommate at the time actually played guitar, so he
had the leg up.
He was like, we thought we needed at least one person who could do something, and then we had to have a singer because none of us could play and sing at the same time. So and because right. I mean, and then we had to get. So then we had to get instruments. So I had to.
Yeah,
I had to go to the toy store and get.
What did you pick?
I picked a bass because I figured it would be easier than the guitar. And I didn't.
So you actually picked the bass?
I picked the bass.
People told me this thing where he heard that you guys fucking drew straws. And you ended up with a bass.
No, I wanted the bass.
I kind of like that idea because his mom put me on this.
Well,
so when I heard that a dude got on the bass because he picked the fucking short straw, I thought that was. Yeah.
I didn't want to do the guitar because that looked like it took too much.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, it requires all five of your fingers.
First time I've ever heard that.
Forget that.
I've never heard anybody tell me that.
Why
is it four? Why is there just fucking one big
right?
Hose?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're fucking.
So I figure, well, I can do one string at a time.
One time I played on the LSD, I thought my bass turned into a giant toothpaste tube, and that was just squeeze it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one string, so. And why'd you pick the drum? I know they were kidding. I got that part right.
Well, I think I was. I originally, I think I said I wanted to play the keyboards, and I don't have any reason why. I don't know why I said that. But then it was like, no. One, you're tone deaf, so you wouldn't be able to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so, and we need a drummer, so you have. So you're gonna. You have to play the drums. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I think he was enforced.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
That was more of a short straw thing. But I think I'm perfectly suited for.
And
drumming.
Then what's left is the guitar. That's how Kel got on there.
Yeah.
Well, Kel was on keyboards.
Because he was my... Yeah.
First.
Because we had got two other guys. Okay. So you get all the... you have to write tunes?
Or mm-hmm. We wrote like three songs.
Okay.
And then we did two covers. We did the Jetsons theme, I think.
And this is the Modern World.
This is the Modern World by The Jam.
The Jam?
Yeah.
So it was a set of four songs.
Did you see that whiskey gig? Yeah, the little black suits?
No, I saw him at the Starwood.
Starwood, I saw him, yeah.
This guy's dad, like, introduced him.
Yeah, he was the manager. You know, I ran into Paul Weller at...
2 years ago. I said, I saw you in 77 at the whiskey. He says, that place still around? I said, yeah, pay to play.
Yeah.
I said, fuck,
not really around.
Yeah.
His band was kind of... But, you know, he sang good, and everybody could play, but it was, like, kind of tired. There was nothing like that.
The energy.
T Boom had the record with the bathroom in the
right. Yeah, the first one.
Yeah,
in the city.
That was good. It sounds like Who or something.
Yeah,
right.
So
very wrong.
Okay, so you do three. What were the three original songs?
There's two original songs. Well, yeah. Was it? What was?
You pissed me off.
You.
Or was that?
One was released for a while, right?
No, we've never put that stuff out.
Was it one song? Is this on a compilation?
I thought one of the songs from that.
Not from the five piece show. No, once we went down.
Oh, maybe
piece,
there's a UCLA song though.
There's a couple on Negative Capability.
Is it You?
No, You is no that's
that
later.
Later.
You Piss Me Off is there's a live version of that.
You Piss Me Off and Don't
Make Me Kill Again.
Kill Again appeared on Negative Capability. That's from our first show as a three piece.
Okay.
But the four songs we did as a five piece have never been released.
Now what was that's you guys' first time ever playing in front of
Oh yeah.
Yes, it is.
What was live?
Liberating. I mean, it was really a lot of fun. We got a huge response. People got it. They were amused by it. It was really ragged. We didn't really know what we were doing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm sure we...
But it was an assault.
We botched every start and every end of every song we played.
I just called them clams.
But it was like performance art, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know? It was... We made an impact.
Yeah,
that's what the whole point of this thing
was. You got the ball rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you called Urinals?
Yeah.
How'd you get the name?
We decided we wanted something really juvenile and kind of borderline offensive to get people's attention.
Nothing to do with Marcel Duchamp. I had so many motherfuckers tell me that.
Yeah, I know.
And I knew it wasn't.
That's a very convenient...
After the fact
sort of situation. I mean, you know, it kind of makes sense because we were doing Gaga.
Smear you like hard rock and shit. I remember those days. Somebody's lying.
I always kind
of remember that band, the Duff guy, the Tons of Poses bass. It was called Fuck Art, Let's Fart, and it had the Anarchy A on the. But farts, of course, A-R-T-Z. Mm. And so that's what I thought that shit was. But right after that first gig, you got tossed the other two dudes?
They left.
Oh, they left.
Yeah, it was. They definitely saw it as something that they didn't take. They were.
Well,
like,
Steve was really frustrated because he was a real musician. He knew how to play guitar, and he just thought, I'm cutting these.
In those days, people, that was a big point. Not
yeah.
Nowadays, people have so much slack and so much tolerance.
Yeah.
In those days.
Oh, no, he was not having it.
When I put Richard Hill on my bass, oh, my God. Every dude who could play in this town hated me. He said, I knew it was going to be somebody like you. So after a while, I was like, okay, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm the asshole. I'm the traitor.
You know, this just shows that there's a variety of different ways to express yourself musically. You don't have to be a musician
in order to do this. Those days, the mentality of those days was so dickhead. It's hard to explain to people
how
much different it is now.
And this really broke down the doors, I think.
Yeah. So your trio, what's the next gig?
The next gig was Halloween 1978. Fourth floor study lounge.
So still at school.
At Dykstra, yeah, at the dorm.
Sure.
And each floor, there were 10 floors in this dorm. Each one was doing a different thing. And
Halloween activity, yeah.
We were representing the fourth floor. And we just...
We had a smoke machine, right?
There was a smoke machine.
Like that New York city called Danceteria.
Exactly.
Things.
So Kel and I were playing through the same amplifier. We couldn't afford more than one.
Well, I heard you recorded the first record that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just turned it all the way up
and
made as much noise as possible.
Plugged the microphone also into it.
Kay told me once when she went to look on the stage, the drums were playing, she looked at Lorna's settings, like every now and then. Oh, yeah.
Exactly the way to do it. That's how you do it.
Just roll them all off.
And Kevin was playing.
She really hated was Pat in the bags with the fingernail. Yeah, how are you playing the fucking bass with fingernails? I was like, you okay? She's like,
hardcore.
Yeah. You gotta fucking play with nails like that.
So we couldn't afford a real drum kit. Kevin
sure,
was
sure, but he's playing a kitty set with like plastic hands.
Yeah,
okay.
Plastic. Like
plastic, okay.
Held with string.
So it was like a notch up.
Yeah. It was like 25, spent like $30.
We were on tour and we saw a little kitty set. We were gonna try to get our little urinal thing in that paper. And D Boom was like, you know what? I think they splurged a little.
Yeah, no, because it was not.
It's like fucking oatmeal, Quaker oatmeal.
Right.
Okay, so you're playing in the same amp, little kitty drums, but this gig is a success too. In fact, this is the first three-piece gig.
Yeah.
So this sets the fucking. And
Vetus was there.
Vetus from the last.
The organ man of the last. I saw him around that time because they had a bomb show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 78.
Yeah, they're
on the nurse.
That's right.
Yeah, he had to tune his brother's bass. I thought that was. I never saw that arena.
Yeah.
Also, he ran up the stage without forgetting to unplug the guitar, so the fucking amp. It was.
Ooh. I've done that. It's not good.
So it was around that time, and Venus. We're getting the end of the first time, but Venus is very important because he becomes the Urinals producer.
He convinced us to record. And we were like,
oh, wow, that too.
Yeah,
because he has the four track.
Yeah, because we had no idea what was the next step, and he was like, you got to make a record. We're like, and
that's the one with the little piece of film taped on the label. And look, we're at the end of the first hour, February 20, 2015, Dish Walk, Peter Show, guest Kevin, John, Urinals, your brother Matt, hold tight. For hour two. February 28, 2015, second hour of the Wack Pedro Show.
Plays hide and seek. The reader is urged to regard with welcoming alertness any images of whatever sort may happen to arise in mind as the following chapter headings are read. Such images are the actual substance of the narrative proposed, and the text's only purpose is to solicit their arousal in the reader's mind. The images in your mind constitute the meat of what happened to me. So, your job. Chapter 1, Before I Was Young. Chapter 2, Becoming Stricter in My Inclinations, I Explore Angles of Incidence. Chapter 3, I Reflect on the Sweet Flavor of Hadocines While Remembering the Clarinet. 4, Theory of Functions. 5, I Discover that My Handwriting is Not Harmonious with the Scientific Outlook, so resolved to take up Antarctic exploration. Chapter 6, At the Mountains of Madness. Chapter 7, 6 months at the court of the Penguin King. Chapter 8, Flightless Philosophies. Chapter 9, Home Again, Oil Shale Investment Strategy. Chapter 10, Wedding Bells, Mayflies, June Bugs, Why Julia? Chapter 11, The Brand of Meleago Kindled Anew. Chapter 12, Scordatura, We Take Up Chamber Music at Home, Smetana versus Brahms. Chapter 13, Julia's Pretty Ways, She Forgives Me. Chapter 14, First Lesions. Chapter 15, Leprosy Detected. Chapter 16, Voluntary Exile of the Isle of Tortoises. Chapter 17, Offshore Oil, School for Workmen, First Newspaper. Chapter 18, Wealth and Knighthood, Kneeling Gratefully Before a Grateful Sovereign. Chapter 19, End of Adolescence. Chapter 20, No More Violins, Cured. Chapter 21, Odysseus in Search of His Son. Chapter 22, I Meet Claire, The Lure of Chastity. Chapter 23, The Stone She Gave Me Glows with a Strange Light, The Assay. Chapter 24, What the Critics Had to Say. Chapter 25, A Duel Declined, Honorary Doctorate, Conversation in a Churchyard. Chapter 26, I Stand for Public Office, Scandal. Chapter 27, First Term in Congress, The School Lunch Bill. Chapter 28, Julia Returns, Claire and Julia, The Mountain Lodge, They Tame an Eagle. Chapter 29, Pregnant, But Who? Chapter 30, Death of the Pope, Sudden Summons, White Smoke. Chapter 31, Among the Alps, My First Rescuer, Dr. Sombroso. Chapter 32, Julian, I Try My Hand at Architecture. Chapter 33, The Cathedral at Zug, A Letter from My Great-Great-Great-Grandfather Was Discovered, My True Name. Chapter 34, The Limestone Quarry, The Long Elderberry, Second Rescuer. Chapter 35, The Tower Raised, Consecration. Chapter 36, I Flee Europe. Chapter 37, Election of One's Sepulchre, Taking the Cowl. Chapter 38, Revulsion, Revisiting My Childhood Home at Saline Bay, Despair. Chapter 39, Elective Surgery. Chapter 40, Hydrangeas on the Hillsides, Thrown by a Horse. Chapter 41, Around the World on the Contrapuntus, Well, I Still Can. Chapter 42, I Resign from My Several Offices and Resolve to Write the Story of My Life, Learning to Write. Chapter 43, An Excursus on Nietzsche. Chapter 44, I Take Leave of the Patient Reader.
too. So this is the engineer, right?
Yeah.
Because we put tones on it. And our question was, is that going to cost us anything?
Yeah. Do we have to pay for that?
Stuff here for good people, because that's what we're going to get into, because Vetus turned the urinals onto a whole new perspective after their second gig, that there's more to being a band than just doing gigs. You can also immortalize it. We start off the second hour with Too Much or Not Enough, Urinals, brand new album. Then Lemon Limes, after that, they're Bay Area. In fact, it's a cousin of one of the Zero Cats.
Oh, cool.
Elvis Robredo. Un Gran Incendio with Viva Bazooka. It's out of Portugal. It's a, what do you call that? A tribute comp to a music cat named Jose. He just passed away. That's terrible. I'll tell you next week. Sorry. The Devil with My First Waltz. I think this guy who's playing guitar is now with Thurston. He lives in England now. He's got Steve Shelley, but he's got two England guys. Or a lady. Robert Kelly with Trigonometry. You like poetry?
Yeah.
And then Urinals with This Love Is Impossible. It's an older man, and this is almost like this one. So, KG. Okay, so Vetus turned John to this recording thing. So he's got a four track.
Yeah. and we thought he was crazy.
Now, he had already recorded the last, right? That's She Don't Know Why.
Yeah, and a bunch of some other singles as well. The first three singles, I think, were all on the Doe Quarter before they did the album. And so.
Oh, yeah, the album.
Well, that was.
I had Joel Melcher on the show, and I heard all about that. I couldn't believe how that sounded so different.
Yeah.
That first single is bitching.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they went into a proper studio. Village Recorders for that.
Santa Monica, I know.
Yeah. With John Harrison.
The engineers getting paid. Yeah. But not as far as the sound was like.
Well, you know, those engineers didn't quite understand what they were working with. They didn't have the same aesthetic.
Yeah,
this guy had been an engineer for Fleetwood Mac, I think, right? And so that's where he was.
The new cars. Anyway, I like the way what Vetus did with them. And then, now your experience, what was that like? You thought he was crazy. Where'd you do it? Did you come into your dorm with the machine?
We went to. He lived in the pool house behind his parents, so we recorded in the pool house, and so we still had just the one amp, the toy drum set, and the Doe Quarter was four track, but only three of them were working.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So we had, and there was two microphones.
Yeah,
one was kind of okay, and then the other one he had used to record underwater. So he'd covered the membrane with
silicon,
something,
resin, I think,
resin or something, some surfboard, shit.
And then surfboards.
And then he but to use it on land, he picked off that stuff, but it didn't really. It was
get off.
So it sounded. Everything sounded really super tinny, and they would start the recording. So you're like, okay, we're gonna do a new song. Okay, so they would take two mics. They'd put one mic on the amp and one mic on the drums. And we'd do a test and say...
What do you mean on the drums? He's laying on your kick drum. Or is it above you?
It was just like on a stand just next to
him. In front
of you. Yeah. And they would say, oh, well... They would take the good mic, and they'd start the good mic on me, and then it would be like, oh, but the amp sounds really bad. We better switch. So they would switch. So I always had the shitty mic on the drum set, which is, you know, it's a toy drum set. What is it going to sound like? But it sounds, so it sounds like castanets on the record. Just like...
It was a toy drum kit.
It was a toy drum set. But it was a medium quality.
You were speaking truth to power.
I think the vocals went through that thing, too.
Yeah. Okay. The vocals, like Last Days of Man on Earth, Hologram. I guess there's a huge vocal part in Shaw, too, but...
You wouldn't be able to hear it.
Who counted that?
I counted off. Did I count it off?
Kevin
counted off. So you have the vocal.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what was the other one? Dead Flowers.
Yeah.
And, were these just written before the recording, or were they in the repertoire?
No, we would work them up. I think they were probably all played that first night. We played as a three-piece. So they were kind of known. Shaw, I wrote when I was still in Northern California. So it was my first proper songwriting experience. But we didn't actually... It didn't get performed until the band formed. But that was... I picked up a $2 acoustic guitar that had three strings on it at the local Salvation
Army. That's what I said, the cord.
Yeah.
The phone string.
Yeah, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I just left it open.
Yeah. That's good. That's TDI.
Works for
that's
me.
Robbie Shankar.
A lot of open ones with that.
Yeah, you know. I was listening to Terry Riley.
You watch a stand-up guy, he's using open notes like a motherfucker. Huh? I said, Mr. Ray Brown, Cecil McBee, they use open notes. Fuck. Pricks with their positions. Okay, so how long did that recording session take?
Oh, it was all one afternoon, right?
Yeah, it was one day.
Yeah. I mean, there was. I'm sure we did one or two takes.
Because you can't do overdubs.
Can't do overdubs, and I couldn't play the songs more than once or twice without getting exhausted.
Well, we did have that third. I think we did an overdub or two here and there.
On that one?
Yeah.
Oh, because there's two mics and there's three tracks.
The vocals, right. They were overdubbed.
Right.
Because there's no way on earth that's
going to. The singing thing was still.
Yeah, it was tough. Still is.
I know, I just have to like force it on you, and after a while, you just don't think about it.
It requires way too much concentration.
No, I literally have to learn how to forget that I'm doing it. Because if you're aware of
Yeah.
You keep doing pracs, you can force it on yourself.
Your brain is split, it's doing two different things at the same time, and you have to train it.
Think about the head and piston and your heartbeat. I mean, shit happens.
Well, you don't have to think about your heartbeat. You just let it.
There must be some part.
Oh yeah, somewhere in there, but it's not conscious.
And there must be some part of that pissing that ain't so voluntary either.
Let's hope so.
But I think I use the same technique as you, though. It's just like
you can do it after.
Just
a while.
Get out of it. I mean, don't think that you're, because that was like the whole thing about using
really hard
my foot and
hi hat and kick drum
and yeah. Two different legs and two different arms doing different things. It was like if I thought about it, it would just all fall apart. If I just
force it,
do it, and
okay. So get the thing recorded. Now it's time to put it out.
Yeah.
So we each put in $50, $25?
Something.
Something enormous?
We had to, like, it was like, yeah, I mean, like.
Some money.
It was some money.
Yeah, it was like 50, $60.
Quando.
And we, Vitas had done this before with the Backlash.
Yeah, we would have never.
Singles.
That's so, right, Backlash. That's
so he helped us out.
Last single is.
Yes,
Backlash.
That's exactly right. So he'd been through this a few times, and right. So he sort of shepherded us through the process.
Is he going to UCLA? Is that how
he went to UCLA. He had
I know he's an architect or some shit, right?
Well, he got two degrees, one in, like, nuclear engineering and one another, some, like, engineering degree.
Okay.
Master.
But that's where he met you guys, was at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. He's kind of your lab rat, but he's also a guy who's been around, so it helps you out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just so here's where you...
Backlash. It's on Happy Squid.
Right, we did it ourselves.
So, yeah, so, how'd that idea come? Part of the whole movement, you saw other people making their own labels?
Yeah, and we figured there's no point in shopping.
Did you guys meet Slash and Flipside?
No, I think we were aware of Slash, maybe. Flipside we probably weren't aware of at that point. You know, UCLA was very isolated.
Self-contained.
Isolated. It was away from popular culture. It was away from Hollywood.
Rhino was down the street.
It was too far.
Wow.
It really, if you really, once you're on campus.
Sure.
Because it took us a long time before we got off campus for shows. I mean, it was just, and no one took us seriously for a long time.
No, I'm trying to make in my mind how you got the idea for Happy Squid.
Kel came up with the title, the label name.
No, but yeah, your label.
Putting it out. We,
was
we
it from Vitas in the back?
He said, yeah, you can do this yourself. It's not a big deal. He was willing to show us, and we thought, no one's going to want this. We better do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And it'll happen faster that way. And indeed, that's what happened. So then we had 200 copies pressed up, and we stuffed them ourselves. And
they're in sacks.
Yeah. And so we
had yellow thing with a chain link fence or something. Yeah. I don't know. Who's
that was Tim. Tim Quinn.
What's the guy who lived with the lady in New Mexico?
Yeah, George O'Keefe and
Stiglitz. Yeah, who's the Stiglitz that did that album cover? No, that's
this was Tim Quinn from Neef who took that picture.
That's incredible.
So he's a friend of ours.
What is this? Just a fence.
Yeah, it's a broken down fence.
A wall.
It's a wall? I thought it was chain link.
It's a wall with some. Fence on the top of it, I think.
Yeah.
It's hard to say because when we took it in to get processed by the duplicator, it wasn't properly screened because that would have cost an extra $3 or something. So you can, it's very high contrast.
Yeah, in those days, people, you went to a printer, you'd have to get like half tones.
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Right. And we didn't want to spring for that.
Yeah, yeah. We did that shit too.
So now you can't tell what it is, unfortunately. And you know, the back cover is just impossible to read.
What was that?
It's just a collage of pictures of us playing. But you can't tell.
Yeah.
I never knew what it
was.
No, there's no way to tell.
Okay, so you got these 200 records. You sell them at the gigs or do you go to the store?
No, we're putting them on consignment. So we're going around to Rhino and...
so you make the big journey to Rhino.
And Zed.
Kuba.
Yeah. And then so once a month we would circulate
around. What about Henry and Joseph?
Vinyl Fetish. That was a little bit later.
Yeah.
They were really skeptical when I walked in the door, I think with the second or third single. But Craig Lee happened to be there at that moment. He said, "Oh, these guys are cool. Go ahead and take their record on consignment." And they did. So.
Craig Lee got Minutemen in L.A. Times.
He was a great supporter.
He helped a lot of cats.
He helped us out a lot.
Yeah,
good guy, man.
He really was. And the bags were fantastic, too.
And I remember one Richard Meltzer show. Remember Enough Cats from Hell? Did you guys listen to that?
We were on that once.
That's right. I heard you guys. Yeah. But I heard him on there, too. And people were calling up so mean.
To Craig Lee?
Yeah. One scene had a little bit of... Well, probably all scenes have some vicious stuff.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's
dudes.
True.
When he had Kale on, all the dudes calling up. There was some belligerent on there.
That's interesting. That's surprising.
So this is what you do. So you didn't do the fanzines, the ads, and that stuff until later.
Later.
I know you did later, but okay.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Sure. I'm just curious.
Then we went back and we repressed it. And,
yeah, right.
And then we got distribution through Bomb.
No, Bomb?
Yeah. Yeah, it was our first distributor.
Craig
Shaw.
Mm-hmm. Brother Matt, we got a segment of the show now we're going to go to called The Spin Cycle. Brother Matt's going to lay some fucking beats on us. There's three fucking verses in this song. Okay, Brother Matt, why don't you deliver a good time at The Spin Cycle?
Cool.
You about ready?
Yeah, ready to roll.
Okay.
Here we go.
Big train, big train. Do you want to ride my big train?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your fucking righteous spin. What provided the impetus, the inspiration, the motivation, and you doing what you just did?
Urinals.
Yeah.
That started it off. And then I was bummed that I missed the Hell Ride last night. I wanted to go over to Long Beach and see you guys. And so I started with the, after that, little porno. So
we got because that's why I first played with Peter.
For a computer. And then had a little Watt, and then just kind of filled in the blanks.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Peter and Perk, the Portal for Pyro was the first time I helped another band out. Actually, I was on a Sacramento Trust record where the bass player bailed out the night before the recording, the live recording, but I'd never he'd been like a side mouse. That was my first time.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting guys.
Was that before Banyan?
Banyan was Perkins' band that he started in the 90s.
Right.
This later 90s.
This is later.
This was 96 when I did this. I did three tours with him. I wore like a caftan. Last night, yeah, I blew a lot of claims. I'm going to do better tomorrow. It's been a while, and I got really beat, man. Thank God it was 7 miles. I don't know why, that did beat the fuck out of me. Does that happen to you guys? Oh, we got to get back to the story. Second EP, Black Hole, I'm a Bug. White middle class.
And ACK.
Keep going. Okay.
Which was a bitching record. I liked. Now this, on the other record, was it Typewriter? Because this one's Label Maker, right?
That's correct.
Do you remember these, Brother Matt? They were like a little gun. And
Alphabet, yeah.
And you squeezed it out. You squeezed them out. And that's I love that, whatever that aesthetic, motif, whatever. It's beautiful. And you can actually see pictures of
it. Yes, you can. We did it right.
And some interesting haircuts.
Yeah. A lot of hair.
But, I mean, that is such a difference between the other dealio, what we were talking about.
Yeah. And it was only like 6 months or so
but
later.
But you know what? I've noticed about the old days, things changed a lot quicker. Nowadays, things can go 5-10 years and kind of stay the same. In those days, man, 6 months did mean a difference.
Yeah, but 6 months was also, it felt a lot longer than it actually was.
It did. Because I think it was in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
There was no, it hadn't got orthodox.
Right.
It was all like...
You're still discovering it.
Yeah, because we looked at a history of all of our shows. Kathy, John's wife, had kept like a calendar with all of our, so we could look back and say, oh, we played this show. Because, I mean, I remember playing, like, feeling like we never played, like we could never get shows, we were never playing enough. And then we looked at it, it's like every couple weeks we were doing a show, and I was like,
oh.
But that, in the time, I was like, God, we can't get it.
You remember Blackies?
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw you guys there.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how I found Pink's, was seeing urinals at Blackie's. Because right...
That's just...
That's right.
Ned Orson Welles. He had a chili dog in each hand. Mr. Welles, how are you, young man? I'd shake your head, but I'm busy.
That's great.
Got it. George Duke, too. He had one in each hand. Yes, that's how you did it. Remember, there was a dude there a long time named Johnny worked back behind there. He didn't have lines in those days.
Yeah.
But, so you did play a lot more than you thought. Yeah. So what that means, I think, too, because of the sound of the second record, is the proficiency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives a fuck anyway, but there is something there, and it must have come from the gigs. And you were saying off air there that you had another drum set. Are you guys using separate amps?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At this point.
You recorded at the school?
Recorded at the soundstage at the UCLA Film School.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like where they do Foley and shit for the movies?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
And a real engineer, I mean, a real sound engineer.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great, but you know what? I love the first one, too. You know, no wine before it's time. Or some Wells, right?
Yeah.
Masson with the spoon on top.
That's right.
2 buck chuck. How was that received?
Oh, much better. People started to take us a little
because
bit more seriously.
Because I read a big thing in it in Slash.
Yeah. I think Jeffrey Lee may have written that.
Ranking Jeffrey.
Excuse me. Ranking Jeffrey
Lee. I tell people that they can't believe it. I mean, because the dude was in the sky. Truth be told.
Well,
he ended up rapping in Japanese.
And he was like the president of the Blondie fan club, too.
Oh, I know. With and his buddy, beautiful guy, just got to play with, you know, his new band's Monkey Birdman.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Ramones fan club guy.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was in Gun Club and he played with Jeffrey, you know, with the eyebrows.
Yes.
Beautiful, I love him. I can't remember. He's living in D.C. now.
Kid Congo.
Yes, Kid Congo Power.
Yes. Yes. Okay, here's a little factoid for you. Kid Congo was in a band with Sally Norvell called Congo Norvell. She used to be married to Phil Tolstad, my ex-roommate, who was the Huns singer. So it all is kind of weirdly connected.
Parallel universe is brother, man.
It is.
Yep.
It's magical.
Yeah. Don't fuck with karma. Or whatever.
Whatever.
Don't let karma fuck with you.
Karma whales. Okay, so this like brings a profile to band up.
Yeah.
So the stuff Edis was talking about, you make a record, now it makes sense because it does give the band another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You start playing gigs, you make a third one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was Edis involved with the second one?
Yes, he was. He was producing.
As a producer man, he ain't a knob man.
Correct.
Yeah. So now this third one is Last Song and
Sex.
Yeah,
Go Away Girl and Sex.
Right, Go Away Girl's the last song.
Yeah.
And Sex is a urinal song. And then there's a dome.
And we're back on the do quarter at this point.
Right. I was going to ask that because it sounds. But it's different than the first one because it's different instruments.
Yeah.
Except the toy stuff.
And we're playing in a small space. We were in a weight room in the dormitory.
What was the idea of doing that, though?
We needed a space to record it. And it was
no,
available.
I mean the record. What is the idea of the record?
To record it, we needed a third record.
Yeah,
it was time to put out a third record.
We ain't got one, so let's use Joe Nolte's.
Right.
You just love the two.
Oh, no, yeah, we liked it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I liked it too.
That was their punk song. And I think David had a hand in it, or he sang it when they performed it live.
Yeah.
And he made
an England drummer guy that had a punk thing, too.
He was crazy. I loved it.
Boy, love that day.
Jack Reynolds, yeah.
He passed away, Joe told
me. Yeah, he did.
But he had, I thought that was like...
And we were going
that
to...
That other single's good, too. The Explosion, what they call the album.
L.A. Explosion.
Single. That's recorded.
Yeah, that's good.
That album is so that I ain't stinking it up. And I love Joe, and I had him on the show. I had him open for me here with the third opera. And you know Joe lives in Pedro now.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So, okay, because you just like your fans.
Yeah.
You know who was big fans, too? Actually helped get the Descendants started was those guys.
Yeah, they were
Stevenson. They were trying to write last songs.
They were really supportive. It was wonderful that they were willing to, you know, put some energy into what we were doing and the Descendants as well.
And so supportive. I mean, booking us for shows when nobody else would book us.
Yeah.
And
they introduced us to Black Flag, I think. And
now I'm thinking of you talk about open for people, but it ain't the urinals. I see you open for Rocky Erickson.
It was 100 Flowers.
And the name is changed.
Yeah.
I wanted to wait for the third hour, but fuck that.
Let's get to it right now.
The name gets changed.
Yes, it does. All right, so, you know, we were getting more proficient, as you can tell from the second.
And then the fourth record comes out.
The Presence of Mind single.
Right.
Yeah.
With this new name.
It was about
84. That was earlier.
Oh,
81? I'm going to say 81 or 82.
Yeah.
Because I see you guys opening up the whiskey for the...
For Rocky, yeah.
Doing heroin. That he did, Lou Reed. Do you remember?
I do not.
That was Captain Hat or something. Yeah. Yeah. That was wild. But you guys, you had another name. And that blew me and D-Boone away. It was like, whoa. But then D-Boone found out it was from the Mao books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. He's okay with that.
Well, because, I mean, we'd gotten kind of into this trap where we were playing with a lot of hardcore bands because we were the Urinals.
Yeah.
And the hardcore fans were just not really into us.
Yeah.
But we couldn't get...
Hardcore guys were very young, too.
Yeah.
Almost another social thing.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, different, a whole different strategy.
Yeah, we had the Minutemen had the same thing. It influenced us, though. We played really fast.
Yes, we would always play a lot faster. Because it's like, we got to get out of here for one. No. And then, yeah, just we got to...
It was their thing.
We got to match up with this energy.
It was older days, they'd be doing Pop Warner football, and so they're using this testosterone.
Right.
All the girls, well, they're not even showing up.
Right, yeah.
No girls.
Remember when almost every punk band had a lady, and then the whole scene changed. Nothing against those cats, but it was just different dynamic.
Yeah.
So you think by making the name change...
Well, I think that was part of it. We felt like we're getting, you know, pigeonholed, and there was places like the Starwood. We were apparently on the unofficial list of bands that would never play there.
Yeah.
And...
We were on some lists like that. We were called Violent SST Band. Yeah, the Minutemen. So you know what gets us into the whiskey? Fear.
Okay, right.
I go into Seneca Lee, you know, and John Belushi's there with the fucking, you know... So, well, maybe later. Yeah, it was trippy. It was the first time, like, but so you could avoid the fucking censorship. So what was happening was you were running into shit before you even got heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really frustrating. So I understand why you changed your name. And then the album comes out, which was really bitching.
Yeah.
Now what was that done?
That was done at Orange County Recorders, Randy Burns. No.
What no, did but I think Mike Patton did the Minutemen there.
Oh, maybe so. Randy Burns did it. He later worked with like Megadeth or somebody.
I think
he had a studio, and we
one
were.
One was Casbah. I know that. But
we were doing "Hell Comes to Your House," the compilation.
Okay, right.
And those guys put us into the studio, and we recorded three tracks. They used one. We got to keep the other two, and we liked it so much we decided to do the whole album there.
What were those people called?
Bemis Brain.
Bemis Brain, but then they got hooked up with the Green World.
Green World,
and Torrance,
yeah, exactly.
Striper. I had to see them playing the warehouse there.
Yeah.
And the guy, the singer man, comes up to me after the gig and goes, you know, I'm working for the man, too. He's the main man.
Oh. Set you straight.
Well, yeah. And he'll fix my little wagon.
Yeah, right? Get me the hell out of here.
Yeah. You know? Can be flatterer. Churl. Man, that's what you should just say. Churl. Scooted away, you know. Okay, so, but you had a buttload of tunes to do there.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys had really worked up the repertoire because, you know, before that record, I didn't hear a lot of them tunes. Now, maybe it was my lack of enough gigs, but...
Most of those were done live. A lot. A few of them were... We came up with in the studio.
Okay.
They were in studio.
Because later I heard them all, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't, maybe I just didn't recognize, I didn't know what the fuck.
Well, you know.
Now we love that album.
We sounded so different on that record from our live presentation. Our live presentation was a lot more aggressive.
Yeah, of course. And then you think that was Randy Burns, the engineer?
He was engineering it, yeah. And Vetus was producing again.
Oh, Vetus, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did a really good job. Really
yeah,
good.
Vetus had a hand in production on every recording except for Drawing Fire.
Okay.
He wasn't available for that, those sessions.
Unavailable. Hands. Did it work? Did changing the name work?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we did discover that, and this is part of the reason why we changed back to the Urinals, is that we were always formerly the urinals. It was always Hunter Flowers formerly the urinals. And so it's like, so what's the point of being formerly the urinals if it, we're always going to be formerly, I mean, so it's just, fuck it, let's just be the urinals. And by that time, there were so many other outrageous names, bands and stuff, that urinals seemed almost like, you know, like retro, kind of like, isn't that sweet? They're the urinals.
With a band in San Francisco, they would call Uncle Bob Touched Me.
I wonder how Uncle Bob feels about that.
Yeah, but actually there's nothing weird. Well, there's some weird.
There's some weird
technically
stuff.
There's nothing could, yeah. Like, you know.
Well, that's nice.
Brush the side gin next to the Christmas tree.
Uncle Bob.
The fruitcake, you know.
You know, he cares. So, Mike, you know, the funny thing about switching back and forth between urinals, Hunter Flowers, and urinals, is when you're Hunter Flowers, you're formerly the urinals. But then, when you change back, you get to put a sticker on the record that says, formerly 100 Flowers.
So you never lose that fucking never game either.
Yeah.
There's no escape.
Yeah. Well, luckily I don't have to say formerly the Bright Orange Band. I remember my mom, you sign these, sew these big letters on my jacket?
Really?
Yeah, but no dots, so people think my name's Bob.
Bob.
Like when I spray painted Pete Bro on my face, like nobody, like north of Carson, no, so they thought my name was Pete Bro.
Right.
You know? But we're at the end of the second hour, February 20th, it's the last day.
Yeah.
Now, 29th, right? Leap year, every 4th?
Yeah, no leap.
But that's when I had the surgery, right? 15 years ago.
Yeah,
I almost died.
Man.
Wow, that's 15
I
years ago.
I visited it every 4 years.
Oh, that's
on leap day. So the other four.
Oh.
Okay, so hold tight for hour. Three. February 20th, 2015. It's third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
faces on a drunken wall. And with the girl before the girl.
Start off the third hour with Water Blood by Urinals, and then Lydia Kavina, you know her?
Nope.
Sweet Adante. Theron.
Okay, yes.
A maestro. There's another lady too. I play a lot of her stuff. But Henry Rollins, in fact, turned me on.
Clara Rockwell.
That's the other one. And I think that was actually the protege, right?
Yeah.
When he wasn't doing KGB stuff.
Right.
He was teaching her. Yeah. His life story is incredibly strange. He was like in gulags and shit.
Just a documentary about
and
that.
And he did spy equipment.
Yeah.
Then Toby Dammit with Number One Famous. That's did the last 2 years
yeah,
in Berlin.
Yeah.
The Stooges. He's there in Berlin. And Bullets or Balloons from with Shuffle, brand new album. They're out of Spokanistan. Are also called The Little Town of Bethlehem. They told me. I love every town. They got fucking waterfalls down the middle of the Gonzaga, right? The Catholic. Urinals, the girl before, finished it up, the first block, the third hour. Onward with the story, where we just did the name game. Then there comes the. Like the personnel game, the change.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? And to me, this was like bigger than the name change. A little bit. And I guess Kel became a lawyer.
He was going to law school during the 100 Flowers period, yeah. So
yeah.
He had a lot on his plate.
Right. So.
And we were not getting along.
There was always, yeah, a little bit of.
And maybe he moved to OC?
No, he was originally from OC.
Oh, he was, okay. But he wasn't living, because he was campus, what'd you call it?
West Loyola. His college, I mean his law school was Loyola.
Yeah,
no, but Westwood, where you guys met,
yeah. Right.
That world, much away from.
Well, he moved to Santa Monica.
Right.
I think he was living in Santa Monica when we were playing.
So, you know, things like that happened. But
sure.
You brought in another cat, and I can't remember his name.
Rod Barker?
Rod.
That was, we broke up, okay, in,
yeah, sure.
In 83. And then we got back together in 96
with
Kel.
We started out with you getting back together with Kel.
Yeah, and we did 2 years.
No, but when I did that gig with you at the Shittin' Factory in Hollywood.
That was with Rod.
Yeah.
He had been in 10-Foot Faces.
That's it. That's the band I was trying to remember.
That's right.
Fuck.
Surf band.
All these guys. There was this whole thing. The Rad. Well, of course you were in that. And, there was a circle of people. Okay, so for 15 years you didn't play. And then
you didn't play in urinals. I mean,
yeah,
you were playing in
other stuff. Because I know. I was just.
I was in Radways.
You went over to Radways.
Trotsky Ice.
Trotsky Ice. You were in Radways.
Radways, yeah.
And God
people,
State.
I heard Radways is back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I believe we're playing a show with you, as a
matter of fact. Besides Michael, that's coming up, right?
Yeah, in June.
When you get back from tour.
Yeah.
Besides Michael, the other weird thing, you parted out the drum kit. That dude played kick. Debbie
plays like floor tom.
Floor tom, you were snare.
I was snare, yeah.
They parted out the kick to different dudes. Some trippy guy was the kick.
Rob, yeah.
I hope he's okay, man.
Oh, he's great.
He is, yeah, he's great.
Great, because he lived wild.
Yeah.
No, he's doing very well right now.
Yeah. He's married, he's doing.
Sometimes that don't work well for people, but I'm glad it is.
No, he got it all squared away.
So these guys were doing other musics, but then you come back to find each other in 93.
96.
96, I'm sorry, 13 years after your breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And there was gigs with Kel.
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
Okay. But then, like, no.
Same thing.
Was there any recall? So, like, nothing got repaired.
Everything was, it was weird. It was
you
like.
Just kicked the can down.
Yeah.
Was there any recording in those 2 years?
We did some demos, but.
Is that the wood one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 98.
The
wood one was with Rod, right?
Yeah, because it says 98 on it.
Yeah.
No, that's actually with, the year.
I'm sorry, that's with Cal.
That's with Cal?
Yeah. The one with Rod was the one with the three of us at Caltech.
And that still makes 2 years, because 96, 98.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you gave me one, it's kind of like Woodburn.
That's right. I did that with a little soldering iron on a piece of plywood.
That was a, what do you call it?
DIY.
Clever. Resourceful, yeah, DIY. Walt Whitman was fucking DIY. 1850 fucking five. 12 poems to try to stop the Civil War. When they talk about traditional and old values, why doesn't that shit get wrong?
Yeah.
You know, why stars and bars and shit like that?
Yeah, people love that stuff.
Well, I sing the body fucking electric. I contradict myself, so I cut. It's on the fucking Brooklyn Bridge. You know, I am vast. I can't. Something about multitudes.
Contain contradictions, yeah.
Multitudes, yeah. Or something like that. I'm vast. Vast. Let's hear Unblackmailable. Yeah, what a trip. You know, I haven't asked you about what any of these songs are about. No, but I'm going to get into this.
It's top secret.
Music. Not this song, but just the songwriting process.
All right. Out.
Care.
Black Wolf, Urinals, Cotton Candy, name the band. They're out of Sao Paulo. Patrick Butler, Sender. Did you ever get to play with Unstoppable?
No.
Yeah. Guys had sweatpants with their name on them, and they had cordless guitars. Well, now he's doing jazz.
I heard about this guy. Yeah.
Nels will tell you. Nels had a wave band called Block.
I remember
about
Block.
They had the Bowie thing with my hair on one side.
Yes, I remember that.
Little bit. Like, and then what would you call that? Fretless?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
I never got. Up with Idea at Tokyo and Urinals, Insomnia. Tell me something about the songwriting process, how it started at the beginning, even though we're way past the beginning.
At the beginning, we didn't even think about the songwriting process.
There's different names. Sometimes I see the song.
Thoroughly instinctual. It just came out. You'd have a song in half an hour, you know? It didn't require any sort of thought.
Did the group come together?
No. We were all writing
stuff. Individuals, yeah.
And we would bring the material in, and then we'd teach it to one another.
Sure.
So, yeah, and it was...
Kind of like me and Deepu.
Because there was not... Like, I always... I developed a rule about you can't come in with a drum part. Do not come in with a drum part for this song, because I'm going to play what I'm going to play, and I would always get intimidated when someone would say, and if they would say, well, I want it to be like chunk chunk chunk, whatever they would say, would be like, I can't do that. Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I can do. I will write that part. You come in, everything else you can come in with, but that is a rule. No drum parts come in, because
that's what you started with.
So everybody would
That's
just
his cut. Rule.
That was my rule, yeah.
I said you.
But did any of that stuff evolve down the road?
Oh, yeah, everything evolves,
yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, after a while you realize, okay, this it becomes... The more you learn, the longer you've been doing it, the more you're aware of the process, and you start to take it more seriously. And now it takes forever to write a song, because I really want to get it right.
Okay, let's take up this album here.
Yeah.
How many songs written?
Well, this album, Rob...
Do you guys like make demos? Have you evolved that far?
Yes, we do. That helps communicate the idea,
sure,
the
sure.
essence of the song
sure.
to the rest of the band, right? So Rob will do a demo, or I'll do a demo. I've been going out to Kevin's place in 29 Palms and doing demos once a year. I'll do some songwriting, and that's how I do it. I compose on a machine, because I can't read music and I don't know the names of the notes. It all has to be in the form of a sound file. But now it's a much more interactive process, in that when a song is brought into the band, I'll bring something in, or Rob will bring something in, and usually music and lyrics.
Oh shit, you know what? I fucked up. How did we get from Rod to Rob?
Oh, okay. Well, Rod, Rod recorded What Is Real and What Is Not. And we played for several years, and went to China and played a music festival in Beijing in 2005, and that was stressful. And he left the band shortly after we came back to the States.
And then you changed your name again.
When Rob Roberge came into the band in 2005,
became the Sheriff of Perception.
It became the Sheriff of Perception.
Because you might be known both as Formula Urinals and Formula.
We hadn't acquired enough formulas.
You want stereo.
Yeah, we needed more formulas.
I think we weren't sure. It was just kind of...
Oh, you think I was going to have a different persona because
of
the new band. Okay, that makes good sense.
We were kind of keeping our options open just to see what would happen, because we didn't know what Rob was going to bring into the band.
Sure.
And there was a certain tension.
No, you guys didn't run ads in the recycler.
No. I took a writing class from Rob
at
Extension, UCLA Extension, and we immediately connected on music.
Okay.
And how
did you meet Rod?
Oh, gosh, how did I meet? Oh, you know, I was distributing some 10-Foot Faces records. And he wanted to get some, so he lived in Pasadena as well. So I think I ran into him at a pub, and he mentioned that he wanted to purchase some. And
we got there's one called Town Pump or something?
Old Town Pub.
Right.
It used to be some lady's name.
It used to be the Loch Ness Monster.
No, I remember playing a place downtown when it was heavier, and it was an old Union Hall. You remember this place that had like 40-foot ceiling? Oh, the worst sound in the world. It was hard to play Pasadena in the old days.
Yeah.
But I've done several old time punk gigs. Believe
I should be not.
When? Recently?
Not the last year and a half.
Oh, okay.
But maybe like the last 3 years.
Yeah, we played there in the fall, I think.
Yeah.
The PA like was on the bar.
Yeah.
There's one speaker. 20 feet
behind
up.
Behind the bar.
Yeah.
The TV's going all fucking.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
Drummy's next to the window.
Yeah.
I love it. Lane Parker, though. Down the alley, too, on the wheels as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so now back to the songwriting thing. So, Riley, you want to investigate people's perceptions of what you bring to the thing, and then they weigh in. It's more collaborative.
It is.
The
arrangements are much more collaborative.
Right. So how long, before you got to this album here, how long did you spend? Is it the longest you ever spent on a record?
What is Real took a long time. This one probably took a little bit longer, yeah. It took a long time to write the stuff, and...
Where'd you record?
We recorded at Mike Mart's place.
Yeah.
Greenhouse. Long Beach.
And Vitas came over there?
No, I produced it.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay, because you told me the only one he wasn't involved in...
I'm sorry, of the early days.
Sorry, that's
what I meant
correct.
To say.
Yeah, that's very late.
No.
The Guest Brother Man.
You know, after we broke up, everything since then, Vitas has not been involved with. He's still doing Trotsky stuff, but not Urinal stuff.
Okay. The name of the title of the album.
Next Year at Marienbad.
Yeah, that's kind of an enigma wrapped in a coupon.
With a piece of bacon around it. It's dipped in chocolate.
Yeah. Sprinkled things. I mean,
okay.
I kind of knew because I know it's a Europe name. Anything with bad is Roman.
Yeah. Right, well, it's a reference to a film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's right. People, we didn't say that. Why they were at UCLA. You guys are film dudes.
Kevin
right?
and I are film students. War film students.
But you know what? I've always thought, looked at my songwriting as making little films. Mm-hmm. And that's why I start with titles. I need to focus because I'm trying to... Everything's got to aid and abet.
Yeah.
And I ain't together enough. So I need the title.
It's a very similar impulse, I think.
But you know, this next record I'm making, it's going to be something you can whistle at work. It's a whole different thing. I'm not going to start with titles. Whole
you know, that's I gotta say, I appreciate the fact that every one of your albums, the ones with your name on them, your solo records, have a different perspective, have a different strategy, and they sound different. And I really appreciate the fact that you keep mixing it up and making it fresh for yourself. Good, fresh challenges.
Yeah, but because I'm from this culture you guys were from. That punk scene.
Yeah.
You were always waiting for the next record. You weren't waiting for the next rerun. You know,
right.
My sister's at home watching I Love Lucy, and my mom loves Perry Mason. But God damn, we've seen him. The dude ain't going to lose. I think he did lose one.
Yeah, once.
And she's going to have a nightmare and have to explain to Ricky. And, I like the thing that came out. See, here, let's play some more.
My veins. will make you reassess your life. It will prove you wrong. You'll awaken from dreams that will keep you from sleep. You will be rewired. This song is a virus. It'll get caught in your brain. This song is a virus. It'll drive your neighbors insane. This song resequences DNA. You'll spend many long nights in the throes of transformation. Your soul will move from head to heart. You will want to go back to the safety that you once knew.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for the this edition. Urinals tear my city down. And Pale Angels, Lapine. I think that's a New Jersey Welsh band. Twofer. Distraction by Nun-A-E.
All right. Nun-A.
Anyway, Jeff, jams for Jeff there. This cat had me play bass, his buddy. That's me. Well, you can't hear it, but I'm there in spirit. And then finally, the song is Virus Murals. Shit. I ask everybody this at the end. If someone just getting into this racket asks you for advice.
Well, what do they want out of it is the question. If they're going to be, if they're thinking they want to get into it to be wealthy superstars, I would advise against it. You have to love it. You have to realize you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah, that's good advice.
And you have to be prepared. You almost have to look forward to being hated, because if you're not hated at first, I don't think you're doing anything worth doing.
You fit in too good.
Yeah, and I mean, because we totally developed our own thing because nobody took it seriously, and people laughed at us, and they thought it was a joke, and so we were just like, okay, fuck it, we're just gonna, obviously we're not gonna be stars, so we can just do whatever we want, because it doesn't, people are gonna hate us anyway.
You're huge stars in our universe. That's the thing, you don't know.
Yeah, you don't
know. Why not go with your dudes?
Right.
Give the good shove.
Because there are people that laugh at us. So what? We're gonna just do what we do, and if they don't like it,
Obviously, you cats are in it for the long haul, so there must be some kind of advice there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's you.
Probably even if you want to be a good skateboard rider, you know, if you fall down, get back up.
Yeah.
And we fell down a lot.
Yeah.
I just heard about it. You know, we built a skate park. Well, actually, me and some longshoremen got together and built the first two parks, but then the city built one. 50 kids going at it with the skateboards. I'm going to close the park down. This shit happens. Please. That's beautiful advice, and even better advice, if I may say so, to suggest you show by example.
Hey, I got to say one thing. I got to say happy birthday to Tom Hofer.
Yeah.
Ex-Leaving Trains, Trotsky Ice.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom.
Oh, just Tom? Oh,
right. Tom.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you again, Kevin John.
Yeah,
beautiful.
You guys,
brother Matt.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Ben, it's been on February 28, 2015 edition of Fever Show. Keep your powder dry.